Fresh flying high, you know how I feel. Ooh, it's a new day, you know how I feel. Ooh, sun in the sky, you know how I feel.
It's time to talk about the 2013 Survivor Series. And now here are your hosts, Landon Doan and Will Rabb.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of a Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt munch. And also appearing at thefarmclub.net, sit on your farm and club and then .net.
Or you could club your farm.
Or you could net your club farm.
Yeah, there's lots of possibilities. So you
we'll
should
figure
go to the
something
website.
Out. Yeah, yeah, because we clearly haven't had enough time to do that. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, my tag team partner, if you will, Ravishing Rab Rude. Will Rab, how we doing this evening, Rab?
I feel like I just watched a decent episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, tonight felt like a chore. It felt like something we had to do. It felt like something we didn't want to do, just based on our conversations leading up to the event tonight, and then just based on our reaction during the event, and then our reactions after watching the event. It's like, wow, we could have done pretty much anything else, but we watched a Survivor Series tonight. So here we are to wax poetic on the 2013 edition of Survivor Series.
And that's exactly why I watched it, because we were going to do a podcast.
Well, wow. Let's not oversell ourselves or undersell ourselves or sell ourselves.
It's kind of like watching Tennessee football because you have to for your job.
Oh, we're pulling back the curtains here on Near Fall Radio on this rapid reaction of Survivor Series 2013. Let's go quickly down the card, and by quickly, I do mean quickly, because holy smokes, this was a, like Rab said, an average episode of Raw at best. Our preview kickoff show, we had The Miz, the newly heel Miz, defeating the Kofi Kingston by submission.
You know, very important for him to get out there and make a name for himself. He's got that huge movie coming up on ABC Family, and, you know, win might just lead to a couple of more people tuning in.
Yep. The Miz is, of course, hoping to get in the running for some TV Emmys, but more than likely Razzies.
Can you win an Oscar for a really bad ABC Family movie, or are they not eligible?
If you can, it would be the opposite of being awesome. To the actual first match of the evening was a traditional Survivor Series elimination tag team. It was a 10-man tag featuring The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, tag teaming with the Real Americans and the Antonio Cesaro and Jack Swagger. They faced Cody Rhodes, Goldust, The Usos, Jimmy and Jey Uso, and Rey Mysterio, and the team of The Shield and the Real Americans won when Roman Reigns pretty much went 1-on-5 and wrecked the entire team. More accurately, it came down to Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, against Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and the one of the Usos. Sorry, I can't tell them apart. And Rey Mysterio.
Rey was in there too, yeah.
Yeah, and then Roman Reigns just ran roughshod.
I just want to give you props real quick for this being the first of a couple times tonight where it's almost like you had Vince make a copy of Vince's script, because you knew exactly what was going to happen. And kudos on that. So even if it wasn't a stellar card, kudos on being able to kind of call the action.
Yeah, it's like, I guess I could pat myself on the back, but at the same time, it's like, maybe I'm seeing what's coming, because maybe it's kind of obvious. Though I will say this, the fact that they let Roman Reigns pretty much go one against the rest of the Survivor Series team and eliminate everybody else with the exception of whoever...
one of the Usos.
Yeah, Seth Rollins eliminated...
I think it was Jimmy, but Let's be honest. Does it really matter?
Yeah, Seth Rollins eliminated somebody. But regardless, Roman Reigns eliminated three people practically in a row. Very rarely does WWE give that distinction to somebody where they go one on the entire Survivor Series team. The last time that happened was Randy Orton before he went on his push to get all of his championships. That tells me there might be some really, really, really big things in Roman Reigns' future.
I always kind of thought that looking at the Shield when they first came on the scene, I always thought that Roman Reigns would be the guy that comes out of that. I think they're all going to eventually have good singles careers built off of, you know, building their foundation brick by brick in the Shield. Obviously, Dean Ambrose... star kind of lit first, so to speak.
See, honestly, that's who I thought was going to be the one that popped out of the Shield.
Well, he did kind of, I feel like he kind of did pop first because, you know, they gave him the singles title because they put gold on all three of them.
Yeah.
But they did two of them as a tag team and then they gave Ambrose the singles title. But now it looks like they're going to kind of maybe. Not cast. I don't think they're done with the Shield yet, but they're going to start having Reigns in a more prominent role because, you know, he has that look. He has that look for me that I like from a really good bad guy. He looks evil.
I don't think they're done with the Shield, but I definitely think we're starting to see cracks in the Shield. I definitely think we're starting to see the beginning of the end, because. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm going to say this about another person we're going to talk about later. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 2 years we see Roman Reigns either carrying the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, yeah, you're a year into the Shield. You have to use the heat that still exists for them to help them launch a successful singles career. You don't want the Shield to totally become irrelevant a la Alberto Del Rio. And then try to, you know, find a vehicle for all these guys. You want them to be able to build their singles career off of their success as a unit.
But on the flip side, we are a year into the Shield. And again, we're going to be talking about this later. There's another group kind of infringing on that three-person heel group that just kind of does whatever they want to quote-unquote, mess up the establishment. Yeah, the Wyatts. You have to realize at this point we're a year into having the Shield around, and JBL tonight on the commentary made reference that 1 year ago tonight at Survivor Series, well, not literally 1 year ago tonight, the Shield showed up. This was the first time we saw the Shield. I don't know. There are very few groups that stick around for more than a year, and it just really feels like in vignettes with the Shield, with Dean Ambrose dropping, passive-aggressive shots at the other two members of the Shield for, you know, losing their championship belts, and then Roman Reigns, I mean, pretty much just giving him these, like, dead-eye F-U stares. It really feels like the WWE wants to move on the Shield pieces.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think it's the perfect time to start separating the Shield.
You know what this really reminds me of? It reminds me a lot of Evolution. Go back to Evolution. When Evolution was put together, everybody was dead set that Randy Orton was going to become the gym piece out of the two rookies that Triple H and Ric Flair took under their wings in Evolution and really, you know, kind of polished. Yes, eventually Randy Orton, I mean, I'm not short-selling what Randy Orton did in his career, but the first one that really caught fire and became a quote-unquote WWE superstar, it was Batista, the big, strong dude with the powerful offense that could easily fire up the crowd. I see a lot of Batista in Roman Reigns, and I wouldn't be surprised if WWE goes down the path they did with him.
And that's kind of how they were able to launch Randy a lot, is when Evolution kind of turned on. Eventually, Evolution turned on each other.
Oh, yeah,
they
absolutely.
Were able to,
they feasted upon each other.
They were able to help Randy a lot. in his singles career when Evolution turned on him. That was big for him. So I think good things to come for Roman Reigns. The only other thing I have to say about that match is if we weren't at Survivor Series and you didn't have all these marks who, like, will lose their shit if we don't have a Survivor Series match. Because there's no, that was fun, and I guess it showed off the tag division, but it wasn't, it didn't have that big fight feel of, like,
yeah,
you know, the old school Survivor Series back in the day. I mean, at one point, the traditional Survivor Series match when they killed off the Invasion storyline,
mm-hmm,
was,
yeah,
the Survivor Series match Team
that.
Alliance versus Team WWF for the company.
For the company, yeah.
So,
and I will say this, it seems like the people who had to, oh, we have to have a Survivor Series match. It's Survivor Series. It's Survivor Series. Also Survivor Series. They got their comeuppance when we had a 14 Divas single elimination tag match. We had to have 13 pinfalls between Divas. Well, my math is probably not going to add up there. I am a journalologism major. But at the same time, we had to have a lot of damn pinfalls for a Divas match to
end. Well, there were two left standing, so theoretically...
Theoretically, my math was almost correct.
11 or 12, something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and that's pretty good for journalologisms. But yeah, it's maybe us as wrestling fans, we need to accept Survivor Series just ain't what it used to be.
It could be, though.
It could be,
it's
but one, it ain't.
It's one of the big four. They,
I mean,
could,
I could be in shape, but I'm not.
They could put together better stuff, but it seems like they don't want to. I don't know if it's because it's too close to the Rumble and Mania. I don't understand why we had one of the best SummerSlams of all time. And then it immediately just went downhill, and Survivor Series tonight was where the WWE crashed and burned.
Well, I'm not going to say they crashed and burned, and even though we might have enjoyed SummerSlam this year, the numbers did not reflect that. And Vince McMahon kind of pretty much blamed Daniel Bryan in an investor's call, where he pretty much said the main event was a swing and a miss. Those were his words, so...
So you bounce back from that with your next Big Four pay-per-view as headlined by The Big Show and Randy Orton?
Yeah, see, that's where I have a problem, because even though you deemed SummerSlam a quote-unquote swing and a miss, everybody I talked to, they seem to disagree. I mean, Rab just said that it was one of the highlights of the year. I mean, and I have to agree, that main event was fantastic. That said, I will say the storyline leading up to it, hey, I'm just going to pick some random dude, that is not very compelling, which that might explain the weak buy rate.
You can have a fantastic event in any sport, and if you don't sell it right, it's not going to sell.
I completely
agree. You have to promote it correctly.
Okay, for the sake of time, we are going to go fast pass like we were at Disney World, so we can talk about John Cena and Daniel Bryan that end of the card, because I really think that's what matters.
Yeah.
All right. Your and my Intercontinental Champion, Big E Langston, another person. You remember a couple minutes ago when I said we were going to reference somebody else who in the next 24 months I think is going to hold one of the big straps? Big E Langston's the other dude. Big E Langston is destined for big things, but unfortunately we are strapped for time. So Big E Langston defeated Curtis, quote-unquote, Michael McGillicuddy Axel.
I hope y'all enjoyed Curtis Axel.
Yeah, because Rab had quite a fantastic line on Twitter tonight. I hope you enjoyed Curtis Axel while he was, what was it?
I'll look it up real quick here on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Nearfall Radio, by the way, was where we were tweeting tonight.
And, yeah, we dusted off the keyboard.
Hey, it's been football season. I'm not going to lie.
And the product, like you can kind of gather from our attitude tonight, has not been that compelling. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I'm just not going to invest a ton of time when
just
I have
honestly
other, between work and a bad product, you're going to tune out.
Exactly.
Okay, let's see. Enjoy at Real Curtis Axel.
Yeah, so you tagged him while he was in the ring getting tagged in real life by Biggie Langston.
Enjoy at Real Curtis Axel while he's still kind of, sort of, maybe a thing. You notice that Paul Heyman was not in the building, so that's why Curtis Axel is dead.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, for the last couple weeks, him and the Ryback, who also got squashed by a returning Mark Henry tonight because Ryback was angry at Bowley's, they both publicly denounced Paul Heyman, saying they were no longer Paul Heyman guys. So
I think
we're not going to see Paul Heyman until the build to WrestleMania when Bork Laser comes back to eat somebody.
In the Curtis Axel situation, I think that means more that they just, I mean, not even Paul Heyman could help this guy.
Yeah,
that says a lot.
That's the thing, yeah.
That's all we got to say about that. We got other stuff to talk about. It says a lot. Not even Paul Heyman can't get you over. Paul Heyman can get over a cold bologna sandwich.
Paul Heyman got over a guy that sounds like Brock Lesnar. And his
Paul,
name is
say
Brock Lesnar.
Stupid.
Yeah. Well, as odd as Bork sounds, at least he's not Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay, yeah, like
speaking
I said.
Speaking of the Divas match that nobody cared about, Team Total Divas won.
Yeah,
no said.
Tune in to your local e-affiliate from, 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time?
Pretty much any probably random time of the day, there's either a Total Divas or a Kardashian marathon, and if you want to watch Total Divas, I feel like you'd be just as happy watching the Kardashians let themselves out on TV.
Yeah.
Not safe for work.
Moving on, like we said, Mark Henry came back looking like Rick Ross, the boss, and he beat the Bowley beater, the Ryback. Moving on to the actual meat of the card, which ironically is at the end of the card, we have your World Heavyweight Champion, John Juan Cena, defeating Alberto Del Rio.
I like how you rolled your R's. That was good.
Yeah, well, you know, I have been in our time off enrolling in the Dirty Dutch School of Enunciation. I've been trying to over-enunciate and put the correct emphasis on the correct syllable.
Good work there. But, John Cena retains.
Yes, John Cena beats Alberto Del Rio. I really hope at this point we don't see any more Alberto Del Rio in the world or in the main event picture. He has been in it since even before WrestleMania. Since hell, honestly, at this point, the entire year. And guess what? The World Heavyweight Championship has been boring for the most part for the entire year.
He can't even give you a good match anymore. Like, it was one thing that his personality was bad. He knew how to wrestle.
I have a theory. Do you know why Alberto Del Rio, or excuse me, Del Rio is bad right now?
Why?
He doesn't have a character. What's his character?
A Mexican.
Okay,
That's not much of a character.
Okay, what's 3MB's character?
Really bad wannabe rock stars who job.
Okay. What is Goldust's character?
A sexually confused guy in a leather suit.
Okay. Let's see. What is...
Is this Wrestling Jeopardy? Did I get a
no,
prize?
No. I'm trying to make a point. Okay. What's Alberto Del Rio's character?
A Mexican former world heavyweight champion.
Okay, then if that's true, then Kofi Kingston's character is he's a black former intercontinental champion.
The point is that Alberto Del Rio doesn't have a character other than being a Mexican guy who waves a flag.
Other than trying to be a tough guy. Which on the next episode of Near Fall Radio, we will have a full breakdown and memoriam to a current WWE superstar close to our heart.
3MB has a better character.
Yeah. Let that sink in. World heavyweight champion. Yes, the guy that co-main evented Survivor Series, 3MB has a better character than him. Which, by the way, 3MB is fantastic. Anyway, Rab, anything else to say on John Juan Cena against Alberto Del Rio?
Just like you, man, I just hope that they move on to somebody else, and I don't really care who it is.
Okay, let me say this. Alberto Del Rio is a really good worker. Let's not sell the man short. He is a talented in-ring talent, and redundancy is redundant.
Do you think maybe it might be good if they fake injure Alberto and he could go away for a little while and then come back and be like a mid-card guy? Maybe he could work with a young guy.
Honestly, I don't know what's good for Alberto at this point. I really don't.
That's why I think until you know what's good, I think it couldn't hurt to go away, because when you go away, that always helps.
Honestly, that might not be a bad idea. Give him from here till Survivor, or give him from here till the Rumble. Give him like 6 weeks off. Have him come back as the car honking, smiling millionaire Alberto Del Rio.
Have him come back as the Rumble, as a surprise entrance, and have him drive the damn car to the ring.
Because you have to remember, not. A year and a half ago, Alberto Del Rio was an interesting character. When he was cutting his promos as a Mexican millionaire, talking about superior allocation. That's awesome. Now he just wants to come out and fight people. He's like a Mexican Kurt Angle, except way worse, which that's saying something.
That's saying a lot, because Kurt Angle is horrible. So that's all we got to really say about that. And we'll talk more about, I guess we'll have a memorial to Alberto Del Rio's career on the next Near Fall Radio.
No, not to Alberto Del Rio. It's to another
I totally
WWE
missed the
superstar.
Point of the tease. Yeah.
It's a tease, you son of a gun.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan picked up a nice little win over the Wyatts.
Yeah, and I guess it was a nice win. I will say this. I was super bummed out about this match because I was talking to Rab earlier today when we were watching
Foosball.
Yeah, Foosball. I'm like, you know, that six-man tag match between the Wyatts and Punk and Bryan and Mysterio, that could be fun. That's actually one of the matches really I'm only looking for. Like, dude, I only think that's a regular tag match. But it's the Wyatt lackeys.
And I hate to sound like a broken record, but this is a match you would get on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You get Bryan and Punk against the lackeys, and when you get to the pay per view, the finish, the high point of the storyline, the payoff.
Should have been.
Is CM Punk beating the shit out of the Wyatts, or the Wyatts getting whoever, but all of them. Not Bray Wyatt hanging out in a rocking chair. I mean, that's what you tune in to main event for.
Yeah, and you were giving me credit for calling something earlier. I'll give you credit for calling this as well. The entire night on Twitter, twitter.com/nearfallradio, you were talking about how this was just an episode of Raw, and holy smokes, was this just a $60 episode of Raw?
And it wouldn't. Sometimes you can do a pay-per-view, and maybe it's not to pay-per-view standards, but if that was a Monday Night Raw, we'd be like, hot damn, that was a good. This would be like average. Like, this would be.
Yeah,
like
that's the thing.
This would be like a B, not even a B minus. This would be like a C.
Yeah, this would have been something we talk about the next morning, like just casually, like fourth or fifth down the docket of whatever we talk about in the morning.
We, if we were...
Beck, did you catch Raw? No. Okay, whatever.
If we were planning to do an episode of Near Far Radio and this Raw had happened, we would honestly maybe think about waiting another week to record to see if the storylines develop.
Though, in all honesty, since we have a break in construction, we might have to record it regardless.
Yes. Always working here at the compound.
Yeah, AB Dub, the compound is always working.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it was a decent enough match because Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are not going to give you a bad match.
Yeah, and honestly, it's kind of fun to see, honestly, the internet's most favorite wrestlers tag teaming together. And wouldn't it be kind of crazy to see this being the build to like them at Mania? Because honestly, I have no idea what these two are going to do at Mania. And what better to throw them in the corner and let the internet work themselves into a lather over this one match in particular?
Have them wrestle each other?
Yeah. Oh. Because honestly, neither one is going to be in the main event.
No.
Especially Unification being on everybody's lips.
They set that up at the end.
Yes.
I guess what you could call our main. I'll be honest with you, our main event. And
our
I hate to say
quote unquote main event. Holy smokes!
If it was 8:05 and you know Raw had opened and Michael Cole had told you where they're at and introduced JBL and the King and said, "And guys, we have a big one tonight. Big Show versus Randy Orton." I would flip it to Monday Night Football.
Yes, I would see what John Gruden is saying at that exact moment. I would see what anything
Spider
else is happening.
Spider 2, why God GD banana. Yes.
Big Show and Randy Orton, that was your main event for Survivor Series.
You know how
Big Show and Randy Orton, you have the incarnate of Stone Cold Steve Austin and Daniel Bryan, because this is the most unified the crowd has been since the glass breaks and Steve Austin comes out and gives everybody stunners and throws beer on himself. Whenever Flight of the Valkyries hits, the crowd jumps out of their seats, throws their hands in the air, screams yes like they just don't even care. And you go to the Big Show?
It's just filler because they want Cena and Orton, and they want to unify the title.
And yeah, like you said earlier, the end really pointed towards that. You want to tell them about it?
Yeah, at the end, Cena, you know, Orton celebrating, gets his win over Big Show, whatever, who cares? It'd be a shitty main event on
it's
Raw,
like,
but
hey,
so it's a pay-per-view.
I'm on the second turnbuckle, I'm Randy Orton.
And then Cena's music hits.
These are my arms with my shitty tattoos.
And he walks out and he's holding the belt above his head. Why does he do that unless we're going to have
for no other reason than for unification.
Unless we're having one of those dumbass champion versus champion matches that don't amount to anything.
Yeah,
the strap is not on the line. This is about pride. Yeah, nobody wants to see
but
that.
But at the same time, I think this time when we see champion versus champion, it is going to matter. But that is for the
you do that at Mania.
That's for the post WrestleMania show when we talk about that match. I think because honestly, it feels like at this point, John Cena is going to hold the World Heavyweight Championship until Mania, and as much as it pains me to say, we might have Randy Orton being the WWE Champion until WrestleMania. Here's the crazy thing.
Not
4 weeks ago, we were talking about how bad off the World Heavyweight Championship was in the hands of Alberto Del Rio. Now that Daniel Bryan has moved out of the main event picture, which let's be honest, he's moved out of the main event picture for the time being, and unfortunately maybe indefinitely, we're now saying the exact same thing about the WWE Championship picture.
I think a little bit they want that, though. They want you naturally to be more attracted to the World Heavyweight Championship because they want to build it back up just a little bit and take advantage of Cena.
That's a possibility.
And then when you unify, it doesn't matter anyway because, let's be honest, John Cena is going to be the unified champion.
Oh, but he doesn't know how to wrestle.
Yeah, but Randy Orton can't be the unified champion.
Oh,
Jesus
but Randy
Christ.
Orton doesn't know how to blink unless prompted.
So the WWE Championship's always going to be special because it's a WWE Championship, and then it'll be back on Cena. But I don't know. I don't think there's any use to having two titles in the company anymore. We've talked about this.
No, and honestly, there hasn't been a reason to have two straps in the company for the last few years. And honestly, I think our main event at Mania is going to be unification, John Cena versus the WWE champion.
Be one of the main events. It'll probably go on last. I'm not sure it's going to be the most anticipated.
Honestly, if
depends how they build it.
Honestly, okay. I just said that John Cena is going to be defending the World Heavyweight Championship at Mania. The only match that I could see outranking that would be Cena and Taker. And that can't happen if John Cena is defending the heavyweight championship. So are we going to get Cena and Bork? That's not going to go on after the unification. This is the unification of the WWGDE championship.
I think, and we can wrap up after this, and this is just crazy. A little bit, but I think Bork comes back at the Rumble, and I think Bork wins the Rumble.
No.
And Bork challenges Orton. And then at some point,
No. See,
what I think is going to happen at Mania and the unification is they're both going to have number one contenders at the beginning of the night, and they'll wrestle in the first, it's a 4-hour show, so wrestle in like the first hour and a half, and then wrestle for the unified title.
And then Rob Van Dam and Scott Hall are going to attack John Cena with cow tasers.
I think you'll get Bork versus Cena with Bork as the new WWE champion.
No.
But then I'm just
cool
out there
that
crazy
would be,
land.
They're not going to put the strap on Bork. Because Bork's content showing up and getting just paychecks.
But hold on. Bork will have the championship in the time between Hell in a Cell or Elimination Chamber, whatever the pay-per-view is before Mania, and Mania. So he would be there anyway. Or Bork wins the Rumble and challenges Orton at Mania and beats him at Mania and has the championship literally for an hour and a half and then goes back to South Dakota to his barn or whatever and, I don't know, has sex with cows or whatever he does.
See, even though I said Bork doesn't come back for the championships, if you put the strap on Bork, you're not going to do it for 6 weeks. You're going to do it. You're gonna go to him and be like, hey, here's a contract. Sign it. You're going to be on our show for the next 3 years.
Not if you're going to get
$5 million.
But he doesn't want to do that. So this is how you use him.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only way you put the strap on him.
You can have the best of both worlds with him, though, if you do what I'm talking about. I'm not saying they have to do that or they will do that. That's how I would do it.
Well, that's for a whole different episode of Near Fall Radio, which, guess what, is going to be coming here soon on buttmunchchips.com and thefarmclub.net, the newly designed farmclub.net. Check it out.
Part of Yard Barker now. Yeehaw.
Yeah, we're
Fox
stepping up in the internet world.
I'm sure Fox.com or whatever is really excited about this podcast being a part of their network.
Yeah, I'm sure anything is excited for us to be part of their network. I'm actually not sure that anything knows we're part of their
network. Exactly.
So for the Will Rab, I am A. Landon Doan, thanking you for joining us for Near Fall Radio's rapid reaction of Survivor Series 2013 with a resounding meh from the Nearfall crew, thank you very much, and we will see you again on the Flippity Flop full show for Sheezy Manizy.
So, you think you're untouchable?
Word life, this is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me.
Whether fighting or spitting, my discipline is unforgiving. Got you backing up in a defensive position.
The proceeding was a Budmunch Chips production. For more information as well as older episodes, please visit us online at budmunchchips.com. Budmunch Chips, sit on your butt munch.